This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
your award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hey, you. Yeah, you. On the job site. Did you know that a big portion of people who listen to Joy at work, just like you? Right now, times are very tough financially, and without your support, Joy may not be around to help you through your work day. So tell your workmates, your next door neighbour, and even your mum to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday 10 till 12.
You're listening to Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9 with Macca and Tass, and we're doing a bit of a deep dive into the situation in America, Macca.
We are, but we don't have a gas mask on because we're not being sprayed with tear gas. Here. Our next guest is Thalia Anthony, Professor of Law, University of Technology in Sydney. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Look, we're pretty good. We've just been speaking with Nick Reese about the crisis in the US and particularly around voting. And my editorial this morning was about Donald Trump.
Lots to be said there.
Well, we'd love to hear some of your thoughts as well.
We'd love to hear what your thoughts are, and particularly Black Lives Matter. And we've seen, you know, it's been an extraordinary almost couple of weeks in the US now since the murder of Mr. Floyd by the Minneapolis police. But what's happened around the US and what's happening in Australia and other countries, we'd really like your thoughts and insight into that.
Yeah, look, it's interesting because obviously the first exposure we had about the protest movement, but also obviously the tragedies around black deaths at the hands of police and in custody was from the United States. And the public grievance and outrage was, you know, even palpable from Australia. And I think it really it re-traumatised many people in Australia who've gone through similar things, but also kind of put the mirror on what is happening with First Nations deaths in custody. What was really interesting was that the groundswell in the United States grew so quickly, and against that we had the Trump administration and also local governors really trying to suppress those protests, which, you know, happened weeks after they were, you know, Trump was giving press conferences saying we should allow protests to go on. But as soon as these protests questioned the administration, questioned the law enforcement authorities, the response is to quickly try and shut them down.
Well, yeah, and you know, shut them down and, you know, I think... Look, there is never just one side to the story in terms of how these demonstrations play out and how people behave. It seems to me, on the footage that I've seen, that there has been some excessive force. That, unfortunately, is part of American life, and particularly for people of colour. What really disturbs me just as much is the increasing use of the military, the National Guard. We've seen... an ex-Secretary of Defence, you know, ex-head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and others coming out against the President, you know, and the current Defence Secretary using the military. Are we at a point, the Reverend Al Sharpton said this, he thinks we're at a point where change is possible around black deaths, about the way people of colour are treated by the police and the judicial system. Do you think we're actually at a point where there's going to be some meaningful change?
I think we will have a stronger idea in the coming days and weeks. I think the fact that the officers responsible both for George Floyd's death, but also for the killing of other people and the violence at the protest. Some of them have been stood down. It shows that there is accountability and that the state is acting more quickly to show that it doesn't endorse those acts. So initially, the charge for George Floyd was third-degree murder, which is, you know, quite a low level of homicide without much responsibility, and the penalties not being very harsh. And that has since been upgraded to second-degree murder. So it shows that the prosecutors, the investigators, are under pressure to actually place a value on the lives of African-American people that are taken by law enforcement officers. So this shows a shift. Whether that pressure is sustained and whether it means that there's a change in the culture in the police force, I think we'll see, and that includes how the prosecutions unfold. Because if there is a successful prosecution, and just in the Australian context, we have to note that's never happened for a First Nations death in custody. But whenever there is a successful prosecution, it sends a really strong message that the police cannot kill with impunity. And I think what is likely to be the tipping point for that is that people are calling for the standard of care to be exercised when, you know, effecting an arrest, when apprehending someone, has to be a higher standard than what we've allowed in the past.
But Thalia, I think you are right. I think you are right in saying that we will know more in the next few days, and once we understand how this pans out. But the truth is, this is not unique. This has happened time after time after time in the history of the US and right across the nation. So do you really think that there will be a change? Is there an appetite for change?
Yeah, the fact that the military was called as a response, the fact that there's been strong, such strong messages and responses by both state and then the federal government in the US shows that this is not like protesting before. They're feeling the unprecedented nature of it, and that is precipitating unprecedented responses. Yes, we've had, you know, protests in the past with Eric Garner and so forth, but I think this is taking it to a next level. Well, you know, and like I said, until we really do see that pan out, we won't know. But I think the moment and the materialisation of the interaction between the state and the protesters reveals a new type of dynamic.
And, you know, I think one of the challenges here, Thalia, is so many prosecutors and attorneys general in the United States in each state are elected, right? So many judges are appointed under a political process. Mm. Even some police chiefs are elected. Mm. I see the key to change in all these things is actually encouraging people to vote, to register and to vote, because unless you change that system, how the police are appointed, how the judges are appointed, how the prosecutors are appointed, unless you change that system, which has been shown not to work or to be working against people of colour, you're not going to see change. People go, yeah, and say, okay, the rioting and looting is over, let's get back to normal, and then nothing changes. It just festers again.
And I think you made the point at the beginning and again now about the rioting and the looting. Really, that's at the margins of the protest. Yeah. And what we're really seeing is tens, maybe hundreds of thousands of people kneeling in honour of, yes, George Floyd, a very peaceful protest. And it's those masses who are going to be the levers for change. And I think while protests may be the apex of political activism, really, it's the consciousness changing that underlies those protests. And so if people are mobilised, whether on the streets or even just at home reading about these issues, to then think, well, how am I going to vote next time? Or what kind of law reform am I going to push for? What, you know, what, and I'm seeing this on social media in Australia, people want to know, what can I do, you know, even as a white person sitting here, you know, in isolation, maybe I'm not on the streets, what can I do? So people are asking the questions. And as the consciousness changes, they will be looking to these things. They will be asking, why are we electing judges? Shouldn't it be an objective process that upholds the rule of law rather than systemically discriminates against people of colour?
Yes, yes, I agree.
So where do we go next? What do you think is going to happen next, Thalia?
Yeah, I think that there will need to be some circuit breaker. I know, for example, today in Sydney, there are very clear demands around and emanating from the family of David Dungay Jr., who died in Long Bay Hospital in Long Bay Prison in southeastern Sydney. They're very clear of their demands, which are investigations and convictions, charges initially, but ultimately convictions for those responsible for pushing down on David Dungay and ending his life. And I think similarly in the United States, they will have very specific demands around what they want to change. And it's when the police and law enforcement and the governors come to the table and start talking about those changes that there will be some resetting and some capacity to, I think.
It sounds like you're being rather optimistic there, Thalia.
Well, either there's either some success from the protest or the grievance just becomes more and more rooted in the population.
Yes.
You know, maybe people like, you know, and I think you mentioned it a moment ago, we do see this and then people move on, they forget, something else comes up. People develop some fatigue about it. That's always a possibility. But I feel like the tension is strong enough for that not to be satisfactory at this point in time. I really feel like there will need to be some circuit breaker where people at the top, people in power, are willing to forgo something in the name of justice. It's not, I guarantee it won't be everything. It won't satisfy the demands for justice from the families and probably many in the protest movement. But I feel like there's going to need to be some compromise just for the sake, aside from, wanting to restore relationships. I think the US governors and law enforcers are going to want that just for the purpose of law and order, for a very pragmatic reason.
Thalia, we're actually out of time now, but I'm actually rather buoyed this morning to hear your sense of optimism in the sense that there might be some change. Thank you for your time this morning. We'd like to keep an eye on this topic and perhaps come back and have another conversation with you and in the near future. That was Professor Thalia Anthony, who's a professor of law at the University of Technology of Sydney.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.